Hey guys, welcome back to Flick or Flop.
It's our 10th episode.
How about that? We are all grown up. Mm-hmm. So Flick or Flop featured film reviews, Jeremy Kibler, the artful critic.
It's me. And Alex Maynard.
Your co-host.
Alex. I'm just
here, the voice of reason.
You're a person.
To reel you back in sometimes.
Oh, thank you. I need all the
just
reeling.
Just kidding.
I can.
I'm here to learn a few things.
Exactly. Giving you an education. So we have four movies to talk about this evening.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, they're smaller movies. I mean, nothing is in theaters since theaters are closed.
So this is our second edition. Wait, this is our second episode, coronavirus edition.
During the coronavirus, yes. Mm-hmm. It's really weird, scary time. But on a lighter note, we're going to talk about movies. Because there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Let's just escape into the screen.
Yes. All right. So first we're going to talk about a little indie called Banana Split.
The name is as fun as the movie is, I think.
It's yummy. So it was written by a 26-year-old, Hannah Marks. She also co-stars in the movie. So she plays April. She's a teenager in her senior year of high school. Her and Nick, played by Dylan Sprouse, you know, of Secret Life of Zack and Cody
fame. Oh my gosh, right? I was like, wait a minute. I know him, place him, and then you said it, and I was like, oh, wow.
Name that Sprouse twin. So April and Nick, they have a relationship for about 2 years, and then during the summer between high school graduation and college orientation, they break up. And then Nick...
That typical summer.
Exactly. Those summers we all know. So they break up, and then April is still hung up on Nick, and she's surprised to find out that he's moved on so quickly, and he's dating a girl named Clara, played by Liana Liberato. And so one night, April's friends take her out, you know, get her out, get Nick off of her mind. And of course, when they go to a party, Clara happens to be there. And
of course,
surprisingly enough, Clara and April hit it off, and they make rules, you know, not to bring Nick up in their conversation, and they're really compatible and they're like soulmates. So yeah, I really enjoyed this.
It was beautiful. It was fun. I compared it to almost like the same level of like P.S. to All the Boys. What is it?
Right.
What's that one?
Yeah,
it's fun. It's just fun. Yeah. It's great to escape. It's relatable.
Right. It's a high school comedy. It's a love story between two girls, but it's platonic. You know, the premise almost sounds like it could be ridiculous, but it really focuses on them, and it doesn't get hung up on, like, you know, stupid, like, sitcom misunderstandings. Like, they know that... They know who the other is. Like, April knows that Clara is dating Nick, and Clara knows that April used to date Nick. It's not one of those dumbed-down romantic comedies. It really focuses on their friendship, and I think that's one of the best things about it.
Yeah, I think it was nice that it wasn't too much caught up on the
plot or
the boy.
Right.
It was more just the dynamics of those two as friends, and of course.
And he's not made out to be a villain either, which is good.
No.
No.
And it, right, because we have seen a lot of those, like,
that would have been easy
pro-feminist, like, anti-man.
Fuck the man.
Yeah.
Right.
One of those movements. I don't even know what the movement's called, but, like, one of those.
But he, you know, he's kind of charming. He's a stoner. Like, you can kind of see, like, why he'd be hard to get over being, like, her first boyfriend, April's first boyfriend. But, I mean, yeah, she's much better off without him because her friendship, April's friendship with Clara is, you know, worth it.
Honestly, I forget how it ends. Like, I know how it ends, but, like, I I'm not mad about it.
Right.
Because there have been some movies where we've talked about where I was like, oh, F that ending. That really messed me up. Like, right. How dare they?
No, no. This was a delight. It it reminded me of Booksmart, but it's not just like a...
You were saying that. Why? So...
I mean, it the entire movie... It revolves around the friendship between two girls. Young females. And even the ending is kind of similar in a way.
Mm.
But, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. No, we should say, so Hannah Marks, she wrote the script. She's only 26.
And she was who?
She played April.
The main
girl.
Yeah. I kind of thought so. As I was watching, really? I was like, is the writer in here? Is that her?
Yeah, so she...
But
she
I didn't
was,
ask
She
you.
Was actually in that movie, Daniel Isn't Real, which I showed you. We had a screener of that.
Yeah, I think I fell asleep during that one.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I tend to fall asleep. If it's not good, I'm falling asleep.
Oh, no, I thought it was good. Anyway, her and Leona Liberato have a really nice chemistry. They feel like real friends. And, you know, they have similar... music taste, and they have like the same kind of sense of humor, and I also really like the younger sister, April. She's like so vulgar.
And, she was
like,
great, she and the mom
the,
too.
And the mom. The mom is like this
sorry,
very
not to
open,
skip over the little girl.
But... Right? No, no. So Addison Rieck and Jessica Heck. Those are the that's the sister and the mother. Yeah, they're really.
Oh,
funny.
They were actually mother daughter. Okay.
Oh, no, did I? No, they are different. Different
oh, my
last
bad.
Names.
Okay.
I just can't pronounce things. Anyway, but no, I really like this. I think it's like one of those, I mean, it's only...
There was a lot of really good chemistry and dynamic. Mm-hmm. Like, the dynamic was so good between all of the characters, I think.
Definitely, yeah.
Because if you read the summary, mm-hmm. if you're just taking a look at the plot, you're like, yeah. Oh, that's cheesy.
Right.
If it were on Netflix or Hulu and I was just scrolling through during the quarantine like we are in right now, I would probably skip past it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not corny at all. It's,
no, it's
very
it's,
realistic.
No, it's a lot better than that. It's a lot smarter, wiser, funnier than that. Yeah, it's a nice little gem.
At one point you did say though, you were like, would the mom...
Oh yeah,
you were not buying into the mom
at
role.
First, but I thought that they were so funny that I kind of just like rolled with it.
I think that they were a little bit too transparent and open
too
and
open.
Vulgar.
She's an oversharer. Yeah,
well, she is, and at first I didn't realize that she was a single mom.
Well, maybe that's the
I
thing.
I think that's why
that's
because now I'm like,
yeah,
now I'm thinking back to my childhood friends who had like single
yeah.
moms, and I'm like, oh my god, that is the single mom.
That's when I kind of chalked it up to
Megan. If you're listening, I'm thinking of your mom.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
too open.
Uh-huh.
Yeah
but I love your mom.
Yeah, she talks about
yeah just like, all the things just all the
stuff,
things
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this was a nice little surprise.
As you put it in your review, it's a delight.
It's a delight. yeah, I would definitely give it a flick.
So how many cherries would you put on top of that?
All the cherries, all the whipped cream, all the nuts, everything. Extra toppings.
Okay, well, they're going to charge you for the extra nuts.
Whatever.
Anyway, I would give it a flick, too.
Yeah.
Good. So it's a mutual flick.
Good. It's a mutual flick. So moving on right along.
Vivarium.
Whatever. Tomato, tomato.
Aquarium, but like not.
Observation. Yeah. So I have now seen this twice, once by myself and then the second time with you.
I think I was gaming and trying to escape the quarantine, and that's why you watched it by yourself first.
You actually fell asleep.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Truth comes out. So
I must have been tired because it was
so
actually
tired.
Good. Spoiler alert.
Right.
Sorry, my
yeah.
opinion.
So this is, I don't even know where to start with this. It's
are
horror.
We doing high concept?
I mean, it is, it's okay. So the premise is high concept, but I think it has a lot of low concept ideas. Like, it's definitely like an allegory. Like, it has something to say. Anyway, let me
can I give it a try?
Do you want to start off and say what it's about?
Yeah, what it's about.
On the surface? Yeah.
Yeah.
Go for it.
So it's about this young couple that
Imogen
are...
Imogen Poots and Jesse Eisenberg.
Right. They're ready to embark on their next journey together. They walked into this real estate office, which is a new construction salesperson who's there, which, plug, you know, me being a real estate agent, I'm like loving the concept. I'm like, oh, okay, this is cool. So I'm like judging, you know, whatever. Anyway. But it's fun. They're like ready to embark on the new journey together.
It's called Yonder.
They're entranced by this salesperson who's
Martin
pitching Yonder, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. this community, you know, where they just go and it's a forever home.
It is definitely a forever home. Yeah, Yonder, Yonder is near enough and far enough, as he says. It's, yeah, so Martin is the real estate agent. He's, like, very strange and, like, almost robotic in a way.
Very robotic, very salesy, so and that's just how he is.
Yeah, so
he will get you every time.
Exactly. And there probably is every time. If, yeah. So, the neighborhood Yonder is very cookie cutter. Like, they are, I know you couldn't tell what color the houses were.
I'm colorblind.
But, they were, like, a minty green. Kind of reminded me of, like, Dr. Seuss's Cat in the Hat. Like, very, like...
It was one hue.
What's that called? Like, tract housing? Like, stacked on top of each other kind of thing?
Very dense. Whoville, yeah. Some would call it, like, you know, in this area, we would say it's, like, Eagle View
right.
or Chesterbrook.
Yeah. And the houses were, like, infinite. Like, on and on and on and on. And the sky is this, like, fake...
Perfect,
fluffy,
beautiful
clouds.
Blue, fluffy,
yes.
Cumulus clouds.
Oh, yeah. So every house is identical, as I said, cookie cutter. So Martin stops at unit number 9. You know, it's perfect for them. And then he disappears. So the two characters, Gemma and Tom, they get in their car. And then they realize they can't leave.
They get lost. I mean...
They get lost.
If you're going through a neighborhood where everything looks the same, I mean, you're going to get lost.
Right. So they're on a loop. There's no escape. I'll say one more thing, and then I think it's best to not know anything else. I will just say that after maybe, I don't know, 2 nights where they realize they're not going anywhere, they get a box with a baby inside, and it's a boy. And they have to raise the baby. And that's all I'm going to say. It goes on from there. So, yeah, this is definitely... Have you ever read any Kafka? It reminded me of that and how it's very surreal and weird and there's no escape and it's like a total nightmare. And this definitely made me feel like...
It's a utopia turned dystopia real quick.
Right, like traditional domestic lifestyle gone wrong, like... Suburbia is hell.
It's a dream come true turned nightmare.
Exactly. Yeah, it has a very dark sense of humor because you almost can't, it's so absurd that you can't help but laugh, especially once the baby grows up very quickly. I'll say that.
Yes. Quote unquote baby too. I mean,
right.
I don't know what.
Right.
And that's
great.
I was so mad. I got so mad. Not that I'm, like, you know, mad that I saw it. Like, I'm mad
mad at the movie?
No, not mad at the movie at all. I mean, I think that it was successful in that I was mad at how that whole situation turned out.
It doesn't
And how
have...
he came across as crazy.
Who? Jesse Eisenberg?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... So Imogen Poots and Jesse Eisenberg play the couple. We should say that they do... She makes a point at the beginning that they don't have any kids yet. So I feel like she is the maternal type, and he is maybe less into having kids, at least...
He's more into living the moment, and
right.
she's more long-term planning.
And so, as their weird situation develops, you can kind of see she is, you know, she has those maternal instincts, and she has a little more patience, but then She has this line throughout the movie. She says it maybe 5 or 6 times, and the very last one is very sad, but how it starts out, "I am not your mother."
Right.
To the boy. And it just keeps getting... It has a different, like, tone to it each time. She gets very, you know, frustrated and aggravated throughout.
And you get just as frustrated with her. And at her.
Yes. You're with her, but you're also... The whole situation is just very...
I was not with her.
No?
No, I was with him. I'm like, okay, survival instinct. You'd be digging
holes and...
I mean, I don't know if I would... No, I would not do that. I'm like, no, definitely would not do that. But, I mean, I would have killed the baby thing.
I will say... Because
it's not a baby.
Right.
Like, once you find out that it's, like, this grown-up, like, overnight thing, like, what is this?
What I respected about the filmmakers, they do not... They take the right approach to this. They don't directly explain, like, what is going on. You're kind of with Gemma and Tom the whole way.
It's fun.
I mean, it is fun. It's dark fun. Because what ends up happening, you know.
Right.
It's definitely like a Twilight Zone episode. Like a 90-minute Twilight Zone episode. Love the production design. I already talked about the neighborhood of Yonder and everything, but I thought that was all cool. I liked it was very like striking and everything.
It's kind of like Horton Hears a Who type. I don't know.
Right. Cat in the Hat. I even like Googled, after watching it, I Googled pictures of the Cat in the Hat, the live action movie with Mike Myers and things like that.
Oh.
In a way.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And even some of the dreamy, nightmarish stuff towards the end with Gemma. It kind of reminded me of A Nightmare on Elm Street a little bit, like the surreal dream sequences.
Yes.
You know, sinking through floors, that sort of thing.
There was one part where I will say, like, I don't even know what you graded it. Okay, I'm actually looking right now. I can see why. I think maybe. I got a little confused at one part. I'm like, okay, why did this just take, like, this crazy turn?
Okay.
I think it was whenever he grew up more.
Okay.
Like, he grew up again. And it's like, okay, well, I thought that, like, once you were raised...
Right. It does keep changing. It's very cyclical, the way the movie...
I'm trying not to give it away talking about it.
Right, right. But it's a cycle, we'll just say. But yeah, that's how I took it, is what I'm saying.
But do you think that at one point, whenever he clearly was risen,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't released, that it's like, well, why are we still continuing on with this?
I just took it as a nightmare where there's no escape. And
okay.
That's what I took it as. And my only criticism is...
Maybe I was rooting for them too much. I was like, oh, I'm like still like, I have this glimmer of hope.
Right. Yeah, I know.
Well, there is hope.
kind of. Maybe. No, my only criticism was it did feel a little long-winded at one point. And I don't know if that was just because I was sharing their frustration at child.
Was it when they were outside?
I don't know when. I can't say when it was. It felt like I was wondering where it was going to go. It kind of lost a little steam for me. But no, I thought this was definitely effective for, like, you know, a nightmare of a suburban lifestyle. I don't know. I don't know how else to explain it. It's very, it kind of talks about, like, the cruelty of nature, too. Like, it opens with birds.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Kind of like,
and then how that all happens.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah, how you're screwed either way. It's going to happen. It's very, like, nihilistic. Like, you're screwed either way. It's going to happen. It's inevitable.
Mm.
But, and you know what? The more I thought about it after watching it the second time,
mm-hmm.
it is kind of a little too timely. Like, it is about social isolation.
It's very timely.
You can't leave your house.
Listen, between last week with The Handmaid's Tale, like we were talking about, and this week with this, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, pay attention to the signs, people. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So this probably isn't the best escape, but it's definitely worth checking out if you're in the mood and you know what you're in for.
The beauty is, while you watch this, you know that, like, you're not going out and about and you're not stumbling into a new construction sales office, so you won't get entranced like a siren does to you.
The situation could be
worse. So you're good.
The situation could be worse.
Well, I feel like there's always... Yeah, I mean, there's definitely always, like, a worse... More worst case. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I would give this a flick, Vivarium.
Wow. I don't think that this happens too often or in the history of flick or flop. I think that so far we are 2 for 2 flick. These are both flicks.
They're both flicks. And they're both available on video on demand because that's all that's available right now. But I believe they're both available on iTunes.
I was going to say, for the average Joe, what does that mean for video on demand? Where can you find this? Probably iTunes.
I mean, on Xfinity. I'm sure they're available for rent on YouTube or Amazon Prime. You just have to check.
If you are living in 2020 and you have Prime, Hulu, Netflix... Search all three of them.
There is a really useful site called Can I Stream It? You type in a movie and it will tell you where it's available.
CanIStreamIt.com.
CanIStreamIt.com. Yeah.
Go there. I'm going to have to go.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So you have two...
I have two other movies that you're going to listen to me and I'm just going to
yammer on. Well, I'm curious. Curious because I think that I saw a part.
You did see part of the second one I'll talk about, but the first one I'm going to talk about, since we were just talking about Amazon Prime, it's an Amazon Prime original called Blow the Man Down.
Okay.
Yes. It is a, it's the...
Is it a horror?
No, I would call it a crime... I don't know if it's quite a thriller, like a crime drama, film noir. It's from two directors, Bridget Savage Cole and Daniel Crudy. It takes place in a fishing town. I think it was shot in Maine. But yeah, it takes place in a fishing town. It's about two sisters. Their mother has just died. And one of the sisters actually, she's at a bar. And she's confronted by this guy. And anyway, she ends up killing him in self-defense. And after she has the dead body on her hands, she comes to her sister and asks for help. And they dispose of the body. Meanwhile, there is a brothel in this fishing town, which is very strange, but... Go with it.
Well, I don't know if it is strange.
No.
I'll buy into it.
I bought into it.
A whole bunch of seasonal fishermen.
Right. So there is a madame played by Margot Martindale from Lazy Season, which we'll talk about.
Oh, cannot wait.
She plays the madame, Margot Martindale. She used to run the brothel with the two sisters' now late mother. And anyway, she realizes what the two sisters are doing, and it kind of goes on from there. It has, I wouldn't say it has twists and turns, but it doesn't always go where you expect it to. It's very offbeat and quirky. It has this these three women that kind of run the entire fishing town, and strangely enough, it's not the madame. It's what are their names? Did you ever see Nebraska, the movie Nebraska? June Squibb. She's this older woman. She's one of the three. June Squibb, Annette O'Toole, and Marceline Hugo. They play these three women that like kind of take care of the town, and they are not down with the brothel. So they're really fun to watch. This movie has a real rich, lived-in sense of place, and it was shot in Maine, so I guess that's why. But you can kind of just feel the wintry
I mean, as you were describing it, I was like, ooh, this is very icy.
Smell the fish.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and it has a lot of...
It's very New England cold.
It is, yes. Yeah, it's really well made. It has a lot of colorful... It's a New England
crime...
Yeah, New England
murder, crime, murder mystery.
Killer. Yeah, and it has like a dark sense of humor. It's very unique.
Well, yeah, Mario, yeah.
Right. It has very interesting, colorful characters. A lot of the women. It's very female fronted, which is cool. They're all Spitfires, of course. and it's one of those movies where it takes place in a small town, but you feel like the filmmaker doesn't she has like true affection for these characters. Like, she doesn't play them as stupid, you know, because sometimes you think like small characters, they're rednecks,
they don't know anything. Okay,
but she really has like a true affection. Exactly. Okay. No mockery here. But no, Margot Martindale is really fun. She's having a blast playing this brothel owner. She has a cane and she has the accent and everything, and yeah, I recommend it. It's like one of those, again, using the word gem, it's like a little discovery. It's a little, you know, movie on Amazon Prime that people should check out.
So essentially, it's a female-driven...
It's a female-driven...
If I were to kill somebody and try to get away with it,
yeah.
And these people get involved to try to cover it up, while there's this, right. Like, one side of the town versus this other side of the town...
Yes.
Okay, well, it sounds fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And, yeah, so I would definitely give it a flick.
I'm working on my high concept descriptions.
And then next...
I wouldn't be mad based upon the description if I saw it, so right. I'll call it a flick. Mm-hmm. All right, we're 3 for 3.
All right, just watch it.
What's the fourth?
All right, so the fourth one is, it's available on Hulu. It's called Big Time Adolescence. So this has Pete Davidson. Is he still on SNL? I don't know. He's better known as Ariana Grande's ex-boyfriend.
Which one? No, just kidding.
The tatted up one. No, he,
Okay, go ahead.
So he's had a hard life already, and I don't even think he's 30 yet. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So this revolves around a 16-year-old named Mo. He remains friends with his older sister's boyfriend, played by Pete Davidson, even after the sister and the boyfriend break up. And Zeke is now 23 years old. And as I said, Mo is 16. And it's kind of strange that they, you know, they still have this friendship. Like, they'll just hang out, they'll get drunk, they'll get high, they'll do whatever. And Zeke is a burnout. He has no job. I think he still lives at his grandmother's house, like his late grandmother's house or something. They don't get into that. But anyway, he's a burnout. He's not going anywhere.
This movie.
And okay. Mo really looks up to Zeke as like this big brother, best friend, even though he's a bad influence. And his parents don't really, you know, like it too much. His father is played by John Cryer from 2 and a Half Men.
I did see this one.
Okay. So this was like a blend of like a coming of age movie and also like arrested development drama. Cause you have Mo, the 16-year-old who's mm-hmm. coming of age, he's learning mm-hmm. things. And then you have Zeke who is not growing up. He's in his 20s and he has an arrested development. He's just not going anywhere. So it kind of has this, like, sad undercurrent to it. And I think I'm pretty sure that's intentional. I don't know if I'm supposed to take this as, like, a cautionary tale or what. I think I am. It's not like a raucous R-rated comedy, like, where you're supposed to laugh at, like, oh, the guy's getting drunk and high. It does. I think it has a very, smart...
Mm-hmm.
clear-eyed look at, like, you know, this kid is looking up to this loser, and it's not a wise move. Pete Davidson is well cast. He seems to be putting a lot of himself into this role. I don't know a lot about him, but I know this is like his first actual film role. But yeah, I don't know. He's very pathetic. And I don't know. You saw like maybe half of this.
I did.
I don't know what you.
Now that you're saying this. Yeah. You know what movie I relate this to a little bit?
What?
Waves. The way in which it pulls on your strings with the one character, Zeke, I think, is the reason why. Because you're talking about Zeke, and I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
That movie. Like, it's more so, like, for me, I'm, like, looking at, like, that. Because it's, I don't know, it's... There's a lot of contrast going on with the movie. I don't even know what to say.
I almost thought that you were going to say it reminded me of Spring Breakers because... I'm not saying it's as good as Spring Breakers. You know, I love
Which Spring both Breakers. Are A24, Waves and Spring Breakers.
Exactly. So we're on
the It's same on that level, wavelength. Right?
Yeah. But no, the way in which it reminded me of Spring Breakers was... You have this movie, both Big Time Adolescence and Spring Breakers. They both look like these, you know, oh, they have, like, hot babes and, like, you know, they're getting drunk and getting high. And then in Big Time Adolescence, you have these, like, two guys getting high, getting drunk and everything. But they both are not
those movies. I mean, it could be the male version of Spring Breakers almost.
I guess, but I...
But it's also this, like, nerd... Like, he's a nerd, and he's looking up to this, like, burnout loser.
Yeah.
Because he's missing... What? I don't know.
Yeah. I wouldn't say...
It plays on a lot of different things.
Yeah.
As I always say, there's a lot of messages there.
A lot of messages.
Like, I know what the writer's trying to portray and what they're getting at, and I would love to know more about this writer.
Right. Yeah, I'm kind of mixed on this, but I almost think it's worth seeing. I don't know. I just feel like a lot of people that are going to see this are going to be like, oh, this looks like a funny, like, Pete Davidson stoner comedy. And it's not that. I don't know. That just kind of interests me, like, how people are going to think it's Napoleon one thing. This is
not Napoleon Dynamite.
No, definitely
or
not.
Or, like, Juno or something like that.
No. But, No, I think it's worth watching. It's like a reluctant recommendation. You know, I liked the film that it turned out to be. Going in, I thought it was gonna be this, like, raunchy, dopey comedy.
Okay.
And it wasn't that. So I was kind of surprised by that. It was a little smarter and wiser than that. So I would give Big Time Adolescence a flick.
Wow.
I know.
Guys.
Got all the way from here to there. Yeah.
That's what a podcast is, I think, pretty much. Like, we're having a conversation here, and you guys are just joining in, and you're hearing us talk about it, because we haven't really talked about it. But, okay, so this is a first, I think, like, 4 out of 4 flicks.
I know. I don't know.
Are we just saying this because it's the corona quarantine? Like, the COVID-19 quarantine, whatever you want to call it, because there's multiple coronaviruses.
I'm just giving out freebies to all movies. I just love everything. No, I guess I'm just choosing correctly.
there's some great ones.
I will say that we'll tee up next week. We will probably disagree
Wait,
on
what's
something
next week?
Next week. So we'll get into that. So
I don't even know what day it is. I mean, I know it's Friday, it's just like because I'm Friday. Trying to bring a sense of normalcy into my life. And, you know, I got fully dressed today.
Showered.
Yeah, my hair's done. It's great. Eight. It's great.
It's great.
So next week, what?
So next week we have...
Oh, we're going to disagree, you're saying? We're not disagreeing.
I'm not going to say on which guys, one. I don't want to spoil.
Guys, I'm working on them. Don't worry. We'll be on the same page next week.
So next week we are talking about... these are all indie movies, I'm going to say.
Lazy Susan. Cannot wait.
Sean Hayes comedy.
Sorry, spoiler. For me.
Right. And then we have an ensemble dramedy called Almost Love. And then there's a cult horror film called The Other Lamb. And if we
I'm
feel...
looking forward to that.
Yeah?
Well...
I should make you watch it.
The
you
only reason it. Why...
You heard it.
Is because, like, some of these other ones that we're going to talk about that are delayed...
Mm-hmm.
Because of this quarantine bullshit.
Right.
Okay, sorry.
I was just gonna say, and then if we're feeling up to it, we might watch. There's a Netflix original called Coffee and Kareem. It's about a cop and I think his stepson, and I don't know, they go on like a ride along or something. I don't know. It's a comedy, and maybe we'll get to it. Maybe we won't.
Well, at this point, I think we're going to get to it because, you know, I'm not going out showing houses and stuff like that. And if I do show a house, it's going to be virtual, so I'll just sit on the couch. So we may as well just sit on the couch,
right? We can't
take a look at houses and watch movies.
Sounds good. Maybe we'll like it, maybe we won't.
We'll see.
All right.
So what are you, like, bummed about? Like, honestly, let's be real. Let's talk a minute.
Yes.
We need to talk a minute. Let's be real.
We can get real, real. You mean, like, because of some of the movies that have been delayed?
Right. the current state of affairs has delayed and...
Such a priority.
What did you say?
In my life.
You said Saint Maud. I mean,
so Saint Maud, it's a horror film. It's an A24 release, so I'm obviously already in the theater waiting
Trailer
for it to
start. Trailer was great. Trailer was great. Just saying. I've only seen it five times.
I already got my ticket and I'm waiting for the movie to start and it's not starting.
Why is it not here?
So Saint Maud, yeah, I can't wait for that whenever it shows. I was excited for the next James Bond movie, No Time to Die.
I love James Bond.
James Bond.
I used to have a screen name with 007 in it.
Oh.
Yeah. I was big into James Bond.
Yeah?
Oh, there was a great GameCube game. Yeah. It was great.
I used to play GoldenEye on Nintendo 64.
Yeah. I mean, James Bond's like, hello, what's not to love? Next.
Right. Exactly. Next. I was also excited, or curious is maybe the better word, mm-hmm. for Spiral. It was a Saw reboot with Chris Rock.
Whenever you told me about that, we're just going to talk about it right now. Whenever you told me about that, I thought you were joking. Because he's a comedian.
It sounds like an SNL mainly. Fake trailer or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what's the catch? It's almost like I was waiting for Scary Movie. It's almost like a parody. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this satire, parody? What is this?
What's going on? No, it's serious. It's real. But it is delayed.
We'll see.
And then the next one is Antebellum, which I think is just a total mystery. It has...
Trailer does not tell you much.
No, it's from producer Jordan Peele, which I'll watch anything he produces, writes, directs, whatever. It has Janelle Monáe.
Who's a singer, writer, song?
She's a musical artist turned actress.
You'll recognize the song.
Yes, but no, this it looks cool. Whatever the hell it is, it has to do with slavery, but it's like a horror film. Time travel might be involved.
Yes,
it looks interesting.
It's more so time. Yeah,
it looks interesting.
Uh huh.
So that's something that we won't be
able to
see.
It questions our concept of reality and time and space, which I love. I'm all about that.
Messages.
Yeah, messages. Like, I'm looking at the deeper meaning of these movies here. Come on.
The big M. All right, and then I was also looking forward to a movie called Run, which has Sarah Paulson.
Okay, the
Love
title
her.
Needs to be all capitals, R-U-N.
Run! Yeah. Run, girl, run!
Or an exclamation, but I'm disappointed.
Oh, God, that...
I love her.
Now that we just got into the title Run, it makes me think of this other movie that is probably delayed that was supposed to come out in May called Run, Sweetheart, Run, and it has one of the girls from Charlie's Angels in it.
Okay, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's think about the present moment. That's not... We haven't heard of anything delayed in that regard, so we're just going to pretend
Fingers crossed.
Life's going on as planned.
Yes. All right, so, yeah, Run, that looked cool. Sarah Paulson plays, like, an insane mother keeping her daughter from leaving. And then the next one was Antlers, which...
That looked good.
It
creepy.
Did look
creepy,
good.
Right?
It looked moody and creepy.
Yeah, moody.
It had Keri Russell in it. It had, like, this weird deer-like alien creature thing. I was in, but...
Weird, moody vibes, dark, eerie, questionable. I'm there.
I'm already in the theater. But alas,
I've got my popcorn.
I already got my popcorn and everything.
I'll pretend it's keto.
Exactly.
It's keto today. It's all about the thoughts around what you're eating.
Right. But yeah, so those are just some of the movies that I don't know when we'll be seeing them, but hopefully soon. In the near future.
I'm hoping soon. You know what? So out of those, wow, that's six. All right, so let's just narrow it down to like three. If there were three that were to come out tomorrow, which ones would you love to see first?
Oh my God. Well, I would say Saint Maud.
Same.
Number one. Two would be Run.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know why. Just Sarah Paulson.
Same.
And I'm then there. It's number three is either between Antebellum or Antlers.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Because those are both like
we
mystery.
We need a dark moody something.
Those are both like mystery puzzle boxes. Like, what the hell is it? Give it to me now.
Yeah, I'm calling it a dark mystery something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are just some of the movies that we wish we were watching right now. But.
So how are you guys doing? We want to know. Are you coping well with this isolation?
Yes.
I mean, this is segregation and isolation at its finest mm-hmm. right now. I mean, I'm still going to Starbucks. I don't know about you. Drive-thru still open.
Should we tell anybody that?
Hate me for it or whatever. Don't care. But like,
yeah,
I'm tipping.
Right. Yes.
For sure.
And going to the grocery store because you need food. You have to eat.
Guys, if anything else, like, figure your food out. Like, during this time, like, get it together. That's what I'm saying. Just get it together. Like, clean your house. Organize your life. Get your food in order. I'm not going to tell you to work out because I'm not. Maybe.
What if we turned this movie review show into a food review show?
Not happening.
No? Okay.
We need video. We'll need video for that. And you know what? You guys need to check out Russell Bryant.
Ooh.
Cooking nice with the plug. Queen. You should watch him. He's much more entertaining than me.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun to watch.
Definitely. So let us know how you're doing.
Yes, please do.
Hope you're doing well. Stay healthy.